Well, tonight we're going to take a look at a verse that has kind of stymied a lot of people over the years. And I'll admit, many, many years ago, I heard some teaching about this verse, and I really wasn't sure what to make of it, but I do tonight, and so I'm going to show you. Look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now, it's really important that you're there because I want you to see this. Verse 44. John chapter 6. Is everybody there? Okay, now let me just lay a disclaimer. If you're reading anything but the King James, I can't be held responsible for what you're going to read. I'm going to give you a couple of examples here in just a few moments. John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day." Now, I don't know about you, but it has been my experience through hearing people talk, other Christians, they use this verse in reference to lost people, especially like lost family members. And in the conversations that I've overheard, it kind of went like this, that, you know, we want them to be saved, but they can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws them. And sometimes they'll say, unless the Holy Spirit draws them. Well, that's not what the verse says. It says the Father. That they, you know, I want them to get born again, but the Father's got to draw them or, you know, they'll never get born again. And to kind of make a long story short, what they're saying, in essence, is this. That until God, the Father, does something to draw this person to Jesus, they're never going to get born again. Now look at the verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now if we just take it at face value, doesn't it seem to say that? That if you're a lost person, you better hope you don't die until the Father draws you to Jesus. Otherwise, you're just out of luck. Now, we know that that explanation doesn't set well. I mean, there's something about that kind of an explanation just as a click on the inside, but nevertheless, if we just read those words in John 6:44, it kind of seems that way. Now, let me read to you. I'll read you three different versions of this. One version says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me makes them want to come. But if they do come, I will raise them to life on the last day." Hey, that's an aversion that's out there. That's why I said I'm not accountable for whatever it is you have in your hands. If you don't have, you know, Brother James, I don't know. I'll read that again. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me makes them want to come. But if they do come, I will raise them to life on the last day." Now let me read another one. "People cannot come to me unless the Father who sent me brings them to me. I will bring these people back to life on the last day." Now that's not a very good translation either. Now listen to this one. Follow along in your Bible. "You're not in charge here." That's what it says. "You're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come. Only then do I do my work, putting people together, setting them on their feet, ready for the end." Those of you listening by tape, you ought to see the expressions on some faces. Now, the last one that I read, if you want to come to me after the service and ask what versions were those, I'll tell you. But the last one I read is one that has been very popular among a lot of people. Now, all three of what I've read to you are not good renderings of the King James. And quite frankly, you could say, well, yeah, but the King James doesn't seem like it's a very good rendering. Well, it actually is if you leave it in context. And that's the key. If you pull this verse out, you can make it say that a person is doomed for hell until the day the Father decides to draw them to Jesus. But now, before we dig into this verse, I want to take a look at a couple of other verses. Leaving your marker or your finger here, look over in chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 32. Now look what Jesus says. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You see that? I'm going to read it again. And I, Jesus is speaking, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Let's look at another one, chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That word reprove could also be interpreted convict. Now let's look at one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. All right, now go back to John chapter 6. So what do we have here? Well, to some people, we might have pure confusion. Because before we got over to 2 Corinthians, what did we see? We have seen the Father drawing people, we've seen Jesus drawing people, and we've seen the Holy Spirit convicting people. And we've seen that now is the day of salvation. But yet, if we just take John chapter 6, verse 44 at face value, we could come up with a doctrine that says, well, you know, until God decides to draw you to Jesus, you're not going to be born again. But yet, when we take a look at these other verses, we find out that Jesus is drawing everybody, not just somebody God the Father decides to draw. Then we see that the Holy Spirit's out there convicting everybody. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit need to get their act together. They need to figure out what's going on here. You know, I can see Jesus and the Holy Spirit going to the Father saying, we don't understand this. Jesus says, yeah, Father, here I am. I'm drawing everybody to me. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, and I'm down there and I'm convicting everybody. So how come they aren't getting born again? And the Father says, well, until I decide to draw them to Jesus, they're not going to get born again. So if I were the Holy Spirit, I'd say, well, then why am I convicting them? What's my purpose in this conviction thing? Because no matter how much I convict them, they can't get born again until you decide to draw them to Jesus. And then if I were Jesus, I would speak up and say, yeah, well, right along with that, Dad, you know, I'm out there trying to draw everybody to me. But you're saying that can't be done until you decide to draw somebody. So why are we wasting our time drawing and convicting? If you're the one that's up there just, you know, do you hold a lottery? Do you draw names out of a hat? I mean, what are you doing, Father? What is it that causes you to decide to draw somebody? You like them? You're in a good mood? I mean, what? They've done enough good works, put enough money in an offering plate or something? I mean, what, God? What is it, Father, that makes you decide to draw them? Well, that is not at all what John 6:44 is talking about. And that's not at all what it means. Let's take a look here. Back up to verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, found Jesus, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now this, at the beginning part of John chapter 6 is where he fed the thousands of people with the loaves and fish. And he goes on in verse 27 to say, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. All right, now what's Jesus doing at this point? He's trying to get their attention off of the natural things and toward the spiritual issues at hand. And in verse 28, they said unto him, "Well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." So again, he's drawing their attention to the spiritual side of this whole thing. And in verse 30, they said therefore unto him, "Well, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work?" Now stop right there. What has just happened at the beginning of this chapter? He fed them with a few loaves and fish. And now they're asking what work? What sign? How quickly they forget. And in verse 31, look what they say. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." All right, now at this point, what are these Jews making reference to? They're making reference to Moses, the children of Israel, being out in the desert, and God feeding them with the manna from heaven. You remember the story. Now look what Jesus says in response. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Now look what Jesus is doing. He's drawing a comparison between Moses and the Father. Look at this again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Now, what's going on here? They're talking about things relative to the law. Can you see this? Jesus is talking outside the law. Why did God provide for them the manna? All right, long sermon short. It was a type and a shadow of what was to come. In other words, for 40 years, he sustained them in the wilderness with something they never earned. Their entire sustenance was based upon God's daily provision. What did Jesus say? "Give us this day our daily bread." And was he talking about natural bread? He was talking about spiritual bread. In other words, the whole thing with the manna was to be an example to the people of what was to come. In other words, you eat manna in the natural sense. You eat manna, you live. It's going to be your daily sustenance. It's going to be your daily life. It's going to be the source of life for you. And yet you're not doing anything to earn it. Nothing. It's God is just providing it for you. And the whole time that they were gathering the manna, they were living under the law. Yet their life, their sustenance, was being provided for them, not by the works of the law, but by the grace of God. Now Jesus, and again, that's a type and shadow of what was to come. Jesus is saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." In other words, he's saying, you guys, you don't get it, do you? You're caught up with natural things, with natural manna, and you don't see what that represents. This is not about a sign. What sign? Manna from heaven. This is a sign of what God wants. This is relative to what God wants to do for you through me. In other words, I am a representative. I am here sent by God to you to provide for you the eternal bread that has come from heaven. The manna that they ate in the wilderness was a type and shadow of me, of what was to come for you. You guys are focusing on something that took place while living under the law, and I'm here trying to explain to you that's not the way it's going to be. Over there in Matthew chapter 5, he talks about how that I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And if you remember the type and shadow, the moment they crossed over into the promised land, the manna stopped. Completely stopped. So here, Jesus is, they're talking about things related to the law. Jesus is talking about things related to the kingdom of God. Now, let me show you something else. If you look back over in chapter 5, and begin in verse 37. "And the Father himself," now this is Jesus speaking, "and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me." Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Verse 46. Now look, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now, in chapter 6, he makes reference to Moses. And then he makes reference to himself. And he says back up in here in verse 37, the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. The Father hath borne witness of me. Now jump over to chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now you see this? Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. Now back up in chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. So he's talking about in chapter 6, people learning from God, learning from the Father. If you have learned of the Father, or if the Father has been the one who has taught you. And in chapter 5, verse 37, he says that the Father has borne witness of me, or he's testified of me. He has spoken of me. But then he goes on in verse 37 and he says, you've neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. So then how did the Father bear witness of Jesus? How did the Father testify of Jesus? He tells you in verse 39, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify or bear witness of me. The way that the Father bore witness of Jesus was by giving the scriptures. And again, a lot of it was directly related to the law. The Father testified of Jesus through the law. In fact, you go through the New Testament and you read about this. They make reference to these things, how that the law, the types and shadows and examples and so on and so forth. And Jesus says in verse 46, if you had believed Moses, chapter 5, verse 46, you'd have believed me. He wrote of me. In other words, God bore witness or testified of Jesus through the writings of Moses to these people. But yet when they're talking to Jesus, they're asking him questions relative to the law, and he's trying to get their attention away from the law and unto the completed work that he is actually doing right in their midst, right before their very eyes. And he's saying, look, the Father's been trying to tell you guys about me the whole time. He even spoke of me to Moses, and Moses wrote it down. And you guys are living under the law. And the whole time you're living under the law, all these things that you're doing, there are natural examples of the work that I was going to complete in your midst. Only the work I'm going to do is a spiritual work. It's not a natural work. But you are so caught up all these centuries of wrong teaching. You say, well, what kind of wrong teaching? The kind of teaching that told them the law was the end. But that's not what it was. The law, I'll say it this way. The law was a means to the end. Okay? Because the law was the schoolmaster sent to lead them to Jesus. And Jesus is saying here, God has been testifying of me the whole time, and now that I'm here, you guys are looking for a natural sign. You're looking for manna from heaven. And that never sustained anybody on a spiritual level. It was an example in the natural of the eternal life that I, the bread from heaven, am going to be able to give unto you. Now, if you look in chapter 6 again, he says in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we know the Father is in the business of drawing people. And we know that everybody, God wants them all to be saved. Doesn't matter who it is. And so to think that God's up in heaven just letting some people rot in sin for years until one day he decides to draw them to Jesus? Something about that just doesn't make sense. Because if that's true, we're wasting our breath witnessing to people. I mean, in theory, okay? Well, this 44th verse is actually explained, not just by everything we've learned to this point, but in verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard what? The testimony of the Father. What is the Father testifying of? Jesus. How is the Father testifying of Jesus? Through the Scriptures. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. All right, now what's he saying here? Remember, on more than one occasion, Jesus said something like, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. This is a variation on that theme. Let me see if I can put it this way. Remember they asked, let's just look at it in this chapter, chapter 6, verse 28. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of Jesus, or work the works of God? Jesus says, well, here's the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, whom has the Father sent? Jesus. How do we know that? Well, for one thing, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which speak of me. In other words, God has been telling people for all these centuries, I'm sending my son, I'm sending my son. Here are natural examples of what he's going to accomplish when he gets down there. Here are natural examples of the end result, of what's going to happen after he gets down there and completes his work. What must we do to work the works of God? Well, you know what? You're asking me something that in your minds is connected to the law. But the answer I'm going to give you is not connected to the law, because I'm fulfilling the law. When the law is fulfilled, there are no works for you to complete. So if you want to work the works of God, it starts with you believing on the one the Father has sent, which is me. Yeah, but Jesus, we just don't know if we can accept that. In other words, you're not willing for God to teach you. You're not willing for God to draw you. He says, if any man, look again in verse 45. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned or been taught of the Father cometh unto me. What's that mean? Here's what it means. Somebody decides, I want eternal life. Remember the guy that went to Jesus? You know, how do I get everlasting life? All right, put it here's to coin a verse. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? I want to know. Have you ever heard stories of people that they were at the bottom? I mean, rock bottom. And they happened to be in a hotel, and they pulled out the good old Gideon's Bible, and they started reading, and they realized, I need Jesus. Now, how did they come to that realization? When there are all these people out there who read the Bible, and they don't have a clue who Jesus is, how did those people come to the point of knowing they needed Jesus when everybody's reading the same Bible? It's because one person is asking God to teach him the way of salvation. And the other person is just looking for something literary to fill his brain. The literary person never fully grasped the fullness of what God's trying to teach him through the Scriptures. But the person who's seeking after God, God speaks to him through the Scriptures and says, my son is the way to the salvation, the deliverance, the hope, everything that you need. My son is the way. Now, relative to the Jews, here's how it would work. In their minds, they're thinking, we have to do the works of the law. Oh God, what must we do to be saved? And God says, let me show you from my word, it's not about the works of the law. It's all about you putting your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ. If any man comes to me, Father, wanting to know what it's going to take for them to have a relationship with me, I am not going to draw them to me. I'm going to draw them to my Son. What did Jesus say? No man comes to the Father but by me. So if I'm seeking to have a relationship with Him, God isn't going to point somebody to the works of the law, and He's not going to point somebody to their own efforts, to their own righteousness. He's not going to point them to anything other than Jesus Christ. And the way that He gets them to Him is to direct them to Jesus. So Jesus makes a statement. Listen, look in verse 44 again. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Now, the Father is ready 24 hours a day to draw every single person to Jesus Christ. Let me say it this way. It does you no good to worship the Father until you've passed through the blood of Jesus. Now, I know that's kind of a radical statement to make. You know what I'm saying? But there are a lot of people who are out there going through the forms of worshiping God. It's kind of like what God said in the Old Testament. These people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There are a lot of people out there, lots of churches out there. They'll sing songs. And these people are sincere. But the thing is, until they are ready to be taught of God the way of salvation, there's no way the Father can draw them to the cross of Jesus Christ to be washed in the blood, have their sins purged, and to be born again. And that's what this is talking about here in this verse 44. When Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard. Heard what? Heard what the Father is speaking. Heard what the Father has said. Heard what the Father is declaring unto them through the Scriptures. Through the preaching of the gospel, if you will. And hath learned, or hath received that which they were hearing. See, it's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to learn it or to receive it. And there are a lot of people that have sat in churches their whole life. Some of you grew up with people in church. And the gospel was presented. And everybody in the church knew knew what you had to do to get born again. Everybody knew. But yet how many of the people in the churches where you grew up continued to say no to Jesus Christ? Continually said no. I mean, you could stand up and sing 40-11 verses of Just As I Am, and some folks would just stand there the whole time and never go forward. You know why that is? It's because they haven't come to verse 45 in their lives. They haven't come to John chapter 6, verse 45. They haven't come to the place where they truly want it. If they've heard it, but they've not received it. And this is, you know, if you read through the four Gospels, you'll see this over and over again, how that Jesus would teach things, and some people not only heard, but they also caught a glimpse of what He was talking about. They were hungry. They were seeking. Remember Nicodemus? Perfect example. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus. And he comes to Him at night. And he was one of the group of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who believe there's something going on here. More than what we've ever experienced, what we've ever heard. This really fits into prophecy very well. And he comes to Jesus at night and he says, Jesus, we know nobody can do the kind of things you're doing unless God's with them. And boy, immediately, Jesus perceived that this man was ready to be taught. And he says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, he says, come again? How do you get back in the mother's womb? Jesus said, now listen to me, Nicodemus. Turn over John chapter 3. I want you to see this because it fits in really well. John chapter 3. He says, verse 2, nobody can do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus, verse 3, says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, now, this is kind of a variation on the theme of what those people were asking Jesus in chapter 6. What must we do to work the works of God? He says, believe on him that was sent by the Father. But just a variation on the theme. And Nicodemus says, well, how can you enter in the womb the second time? Jesus says, verily, verily, except a man be born of water, natural birth, out of the womb, and of the Spirit, born again spiritually, new life, new nature, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind blows, and so on and so forth. But now look what Nicodemus says in verse 9. He answered and said, how can these things be? Now look at Jesus' response. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Why would Nicodemus know these things? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me. In other words, Nicodemus, you're an expert in the law. You know this. You know it inside and out. How is it that you don't understand the types and the shadows? How is it you don't understand the prophecies contained in the law about me? How is it you don't understand the prophets that spoke of the new heart, you know, the heart of flesh for the stony heart? I mean, all these different things. You're a master of Israel. In other words, Nicodemus, as a master of Israel, you're the one that's supposed to be teaching these things to the people. If you don't understand, what hope do they have of understanding? And if you don't understand, what exactly is it you're teaching them? Can you see this? This is a perfect example. Nicodemus wanted to know. And so Jesus goes on and he talks about being born again and so on and so forth. Nicodemus wanted to know. And in this discourse with him, he does make reference to the law and the prophets. In John chapter 6, turn back over there again. In John chapter 6, in verse 44, when Jesus is talking about the Father drawing him, the answer to that verse again is in verse 45. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. In other words, anybody who is seeking, that cries out to God, wanting to know, God the Father is going to draw that person to Jesus and Jesus alone so that they can be born again. And Jesus says, now here, this is the part I like really well. He says, anyone who not only hears, but also learns or receives, will come unto me. Will come unto me. This right here tells you why a lot of your friends and family members have never been born again. They honestly have not come to the place of wanting to know why, when, where, and how. In other words, they're happy in their sin. So what do? We pray for their eyes to be opened. Like this one version that I read. Oh my goodness. No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me makes them want to come. That's never going to happen. The Father's never going to make anybody want to come, because if that were the case, everybody would be born again right now. And nobody would be dying and going to hell. But what we do is we pray against the strongholds of the enemy that have tried to keep people blinded to their need for Jesus, trying to tell them they don't need Jesus, don't need this born again stuff. Even people in churches that hear the gospel, they're hearing, but they're not receiving. We need to pray for their eyes to be opened for them, because Jesus is saying, anybody who hears and learns or receives, he's talking about people that have come to the place they want to know. And anybody who gets to that point, Jesus says, they will come unto me. Praise the Lord. 100% success. Hallelujah. So our intercession is not going to be, oh God, make them. Drag them to the cross, God. Come on, Father. Our prayer is, in the name of Jesus, I come against your lies, devil. Your lies that have kept them blinded to their need for Jesus Christ. And Father, I'm asking you to get involved in their lives. Send laborers into the harvest fields of their lives, Father, so that not only will they hear, but Father, I'm praying and believing by faith, just by faith, Father, I say they're going to receive. They're going to learn of you, and that they'll come to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. So it's not about, you know, some people really have a hard time with this, because there's some people that actually believe verse 44 is talking about God just someday, you know, let them live in sin for 40, 50, 60 years. Then maybe on their deathbed, draw them to Jesus Christ. You understand? God needs us all born again now to serve Him now, to preach the gospel now, because the Holy Spirit's convicting now, and now is the day of salvation. Praise the Lord. So no matter who you have in your life, family members or friends, God is not sitting around doing nothing. He's not. He is waiting for them to make a decision to hear and to receive, because when they do, they're going to accept. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope this helps you understand again a little bit more about how to pray on behalf of other people and to believe that they're going to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this, the same thing would hold true for backsliders. The reason they're backslidden is because they haven't learned. Praise God. Well, why don't you go ahead and stand. Worship Jesus.